You saw the t-shirt she was wearing, of course. Hello? What did I say?
Talking to me.
What did I say?
You saw the t-shirt she was wearing.
The t-shirt she was wearing, t-shirt. I guess.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She was wearing. Did you see the t-shirt she was wearing?
The international. You mean yours?
No, she. There was somebody wearing an interesting t-shirt today. Did you notice? Oh, I can hardly wait to tell her. No. She wore it so that you know she was wishing you a happy Father's Day. Yeah, no, yesterday I was Amnesty International. Today I'm... The spirit world does not speak. In the tongue of man, but through the language of the heart. And ain't it the truth? Are we all here? Anybody missing? Should I check my list? Can we do roll call? Julia's coming today. Edie.
Here.
Chris.
Here.
Y'all. Chuck.
Yo.
Lisa.
Here.
Leanne.
Yeah.
Josephine.
Yes.
Pam.
Yes.
What time are you leaving, Pam, on Tuesday? Susan, oh, she's gone. Paul, oh, he's gone. Mike, oh, he's gone. Satya, oh, she's gone. Erin, oh, she's gone. Joan.
Here.
And Linda. We're all here. Sesame. Okay. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Sadhu. How you doing? Okay, good. Any questions, answers, comments, complaints? So it's interesting, you know, when, say you were in a restaurant waiting for someone who you're really looking forward to seeing, and they came in the door, what would you do?
Stand up and hug them.
You would what?
Stand up and hug them.
Yeah. Why would you do that? Because your energy lifts you, because you're happy to greet them. Isn't that true? It's like international. I remember me telling you this before. Do you remember this? Vaguely. If you really, you have power in the teaching. And your power is that you are making a request. You're happy to be here. So I know it's a depressing, miserable, awful, rotten world. And you're hiring me, paying me my weight in emeralds to give you a little entertainment. I understand that, and I do the best I can. But if I'm going to perform well, you should perform well too. Like when I come in, you should stand up. Because that will move your energy, and it gives you the sense that you have something to offer. Does that make sense? Have any of you ever heard that from me before? No? Don't remember anyway. See, what I remember is very different from what other people remember. Because that's your power, you see, to say, oh, good. Encouraging me maybe to be worthwhile for you. Maybe I will actually be inspired. By your enthusiasm. It's possible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you. And when there is a question, why aren't you generous? What is it you're looking, you're waiting for? When I say, so how's it going? How come so many of you just pull your energy in? Why do you do that? I'm just asking.
I know I do it because I'm afraid I'll say something wrong.
So you're doing it because I'm very cruel?
No, you're not. No.
Because it's me asking. See how it feels? So I wonder, like, okay, what am I doing wrong? So I want to know, like, what am I doing wrong here? How am I abasing and abusing you? How am I doing that? I don't want to. That's not my purpose.
Is it
Sunday? No. Just keep your T-O-E-S. It's fine. It's fine. That is the feeling. Okay. Other people have a different feeling for doing the same thing.
You have not ever abused me.
Oh, give me time. No. No, and thank you. Thank you. I certainly do not ever mean to. That's never my intention. Yeah?
I was drawing in my energy, stopping to think through the afternoon, kind of sifting through.
But you know there's a class at 4:15.
No.
You understand what I'm saying there?
That's true.
I understand that too, but we both know that there's a class at 4:15, and I am coming to the class prepared. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, but you already have your energy, but you are already somebody who is my friend. You already have your experience. It's just interesting from my point of view to bring this to your attention.
I think it tends to be wrapped up in fear, and fear of peer pressure, but I mean, this is so non-Western. It's like this nebulous thing of just realize who you really aren't, you know? And I mean, it's not like doing your homework, you know, math class or English.
Where you're
class.
Getting the right answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's this, duh.
Yeah.
You know, just sort of wait and maybe a light will go on.
Yeah. And so you can see that to actually speak would be to continue that practice. To not try to get the right answer, to just say, well, okay, I'm just going to be who I am.
Yeah, it's almost a damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Of course.
Especially with the Rinpoche.
Of course.
I mean, excuse me.
I lived through him.
I don't think you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Okay, you aren't. Okay. So I'm not, yeah.
I really appreciate the feedback that I get from both you as well as from Rinpoche. He told a line once in Edmonton, Canada. He said, a teacher never flogs a dead horse. And so
I... Oh, he's such a smart ass.
I'm grateful that you're being flogged. And so I sort of... It stuck with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really take the feedback to heart. It may not feel good at the time.
Right.
But...
But you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, that reticence when I ask.
Right. And my reticence came sort of from my meditation in particular.
Yeah.
It sort of was, you know, I was sitting there contemplating, I was reading, and it's a dull object. I said, yeah, dull object, dull meditator. I kind of felt like you know how I felt? I'll tell you how I felt. I felt like I have... It's a Saturday afternoon, I have nothing to do, and I'm sitting there flipping TV channels.
That's excellent progress. That is excellent progress, Miss Lisa. Listen. Mm-hmm. That's excellent. Mm-hmm. Because when you get bored, mm-hmm. for me, boredom is one of the main reasons I actually start paying attention. when I actually realize how bored I am with my same movies. There are two ways that I want to change. One is from boredom, and the other is from pain. I very rarely want to change because I really want something. Usually my knuckles have to be... Does that make sense? And don't you do the same? Don't you kind of cling to what you think might work? So, like, boredom is wonderful.
So it was a day of dull meditator.
Excellent, excellent. And the point is to maintain the practice whether one likes the results or not. And just watch your mind arguing, you know, and say, oh yeah, perception. Doesn't matter how many times you say it. Third day is always the big crunch on a retreat, isn't it? That's my experience. Isn't that your experience? Third day is when... Yeah? Third day for me is I'm saying, okay, well, I've been doing this for 2 days. Can I go back to my usual patterns now? Or boredom. You know, it's the same thing. It's like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. Because, you know, I've gone through the in basket enough times. And I've put enough of the letters back and then gone through them a second time and third time and fourth time. And then I realize there's nothing more in the in basket. And I've sort of run out of fantasies about what I'm about to experience. And it's getting down to just being aware of the things I don't like being aware of. For me. So it's a... I don't know, you know, everybody's different, I understand that. But for me, usually the third day, the seventh day, sometime toward the middle to the end of the third week, and the second month, about halfway through the second month, those are the times when I watch doing retreats. Those are the times where I'm going, I'm paying to do this. My mother had one crazy child. Yeah?
Well, for me, this is like a vacation, first of all. Because if I'm home, I've got all kinds of chores, I've got responsibilities, I've got interpersonal relationships. And here, it's like I don't have to do any dishes, I don't have to cook, I don't have to take care of animals, children, wife who's sick, this, that. So it's like a sigh of relief. So I feel I'm under the gun if I'm at home, but here it's like I can just go, and that's the first step. That's my first acceptance, is I can just let go of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so my attitude is one, I'm a very compulsive, can-do person. I'm really wired, and so I just let that go for 10 days, and it's a very, I just feel in a very creative, open space.
Right.
Like, for instance, with smells, I never take the time to smell. I'm a non-smeller.
Was that interesting?
So it is just really a trip for me to be here just smelling these and going, wow, this is all I have to do is smell.
Right. You know? And what did you notice?
I have a lot of blockage on smell, but I notice...
It isn't, yeah.
Different depths of the smell within my...
Yeah, it's not, smell doesn't work with it. This real power of smell is hormonal. Remember me just slipping that in? And it bypasses altogether. Your sense of taste is more about whether you like the flavor or not. Your sense of smell mostly affects how your hormone system works. And what I was hoping that you might notice, if you just sat there calmly and just like put the odor in the air somewhere and then put it down, you might notice the energy shifting as different hormones changed in your body. Anybody notice that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Play with it some more. Mm-hmm. Because probably, you know, it's easy, again, if you're looking for something, you're going to miss what's there. Mm. So that in itself is worth learning. I have a whole collection of these because every day, every morning, I do the offering bowls. You know the offering bowls? Which are water for drinking. What? Drinking to cut down the thirst, right? Isn't that water for drinking to cut down the thirst, which is becoming what you should be doing or what you're looking for or to cut off the thirst for the future. Water for washing the feet, to get rid of the dust of the past. Right? Do you remember this? I've taught this twice before in Boise. Water for drinking. For what, Joan?
Water for drinking.
Yeah.
Spiritual
thirst. To cut down the thirst for the future. Yeah. Water.
For washing. For washing the dust of the past.
Yeah, and it's for the feet, washing the feet, actually. To let go of the dust from your past path. Interesting, huh? Because everywhere you're going, your understanding is covered with the dust of the past, right? So you got to wash it off so you can see where your new understanding is. Understanding.
So washing.
Water for drinking. This is like there are, I know, five different ways of doing the mudras. This one. Is I like teaching this one to people for starters. First of all, because if you do it in a room full of Tibetans who are with the Dalai Lama or, you know, anybody else, everybody else will be doing differently and everybody will be checking to see whether you're doing the right one and they're doing the wrong one, which I always think is good for people. That's my particular, you know. And secondly, because it looks like what it is, so it's easier to remember. And so when you're doing it, you start usually like this, like your hands are going around, because you're sending out this fishing line, but it's actually rays of light from your heart, and all these disco dakinis, you know, disco this way, are going out. Disco dakinis go out, and they all are holding a bowl filled with, and if you're Tibetan, you always keep your thumbs tucked in, because not doing that is equivalent to this. So you don't want to do that. Just because you're pretending you're polite to that. So, disco dakinis, water for drinking. Disco dakinis, water for washing. You know when you wash your hands, you do like this. Well, you just sort of pretend that, but you take your right hand and you put it around the back of your left hand. Right hand. And the back of the right hand against the back of the left hand. That's it. Very weird way of washing, right? That's it. So water for drinking, water for washing. Flowers. It's a flower, right? You can see that. Flower represents all of the wholesome properties, all of the good qualities, all of the power of the wholesome that you're moving from the dirt to the light. All the wholesome energies from, you know, the father on the right, the mother on the left, right? And then all the remember that when I did that in the class the other day? And then all the fathers on the father's rights and all the mothers on the father's lefts and all the mother's fathers on the mother's rights and all the mother's mothers on the mother's lefts, right? And going back and back and back and generations and all your siblings are there and all the pets you ever had and all the animals that anybody ever had anything to do with and all the ghosts and all the UFOs and all the ESPs and all the whatever, channelers, you know, whatever. It's all there hovering, this powerful energy going way, 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 way back. This endless murmuring voices of all of the past that supports you here, and what you're drawing on is all of the little moments of love. Never mind what a screw-up they all were. Like, you're leaving on the side the time that that asshole tied your shoelace. You got it? So that's like the flowers. That's like all the energy that's opening to the light. All of the wholesome that supports you in the present. It's called flowers, good qualities. You're naming the good qualities. Because a dialogue with the unwholesome is unwholesome. Exactly. So, boing. Incense. See the incense drifting in the air? So, Om Vajra. Argyam, water for drinking, water for washing, padyam, pushpe, flowers, dupe, incense. Incense is morality. It represents morality because the incense moves without harm. Right? The influence of it is everywhere without harm. It's like the absolute respect. Nothing gets lost and nothing is harmed. Good is wholesome actions. Means morality. Means respect, basically, doesn't it? You see that? So the second. And then next one is, what's next? Oh, your light. See, there they are. The wick. The flame. Lights. So then after you've got water for drinking, you let go of the past, water for washing, let go of the future, let go of the past. You've collected the good qualities, you're practicing respect, then of course a little wisdom dawns. You can actually see more clearly. They're nice, aren't they? And so when you can see more clearly, then comes scented water, which is what you're going to massage the guest. Elijah is coming. You're ready. You know who Elijah is, you know, in Judaism. At Seder, Passover, your youngest child goes to the door. There's always one extra place set. The youngest child goes to the door because the youngest is the one who is probably not going to be bagged up with all of their preconceptions and is going to be able to recognize Elijah returning, Jesus returning, the prophet coming, the holy coming back into your life. So the scented water is like changing, you know, now this is on the invisible level. I told you about the smell. Now the energy is moving inwardly to welcome the guest with a massage. It means faith. Scented water represents faith. Confidence, faith. They're lovely, aren't they? Yeah, so it's like this blessing energy. I'm ready for you. Come on in. And then the last one is the same as the first one, but it's now food. You got a bowl full of food. This is the holy food of contemplation. It's what you nourish that will grow. So in this case, it's the food for spiritual understanding. Usually meditation, contemplation. And so when you've made those seven offerings, those are the seven offering bowls, with the disco dakinis going out for each one of them, then, you know, in the Tibetan tradition, instead of a light bulb above your head in a cartoon, they have a bell. Then the bell rings. Ding. Elijah rings the doorbell. Did you call? I'm here. So it's boom, you know. So those are the outer offerings. That's you taking the things that you usually involve yourself with, the outer, and you offering them. You're not trying to make them happen for you. You're not involved giving yourself worry about the future, fret about the past, wonder whether anything good is ever going to happen, you know? You're taking all of those, you're saying they exist, and you're making them into offerings. So they're called the outer offerings. The inner offerings are to do with the five sense doors, which is what we're doing. Perception, smell, where you see them as the inner movements of energy. You see the sense doors as themselves goddesses, not my eyes, my ears, my nose, my, you know. But this doorway of dancing energy that totally changes the entire mandala here. You're actually opening up all of your locked windows and letting yourself be part of the flows of energy of the universe. Which I think is a fairly reasonable idea, don't you? And then the last offering is sometimes called the secret offering. And that's when you get offered back, when you are in embrace with the beloved. And then the most secret is when you can do all three at once without any problem whatsoever. So those are four levels of offerings. But on a shrine, you have usually these seven bowls. They represent the seven offerings. And the bell would actually traditionally be on the other side, because it's a culmination. Culmination of the offerings. It would be on that end, because they go from here, because you're offering them, so you start from the Buddha's right. Unless, of course, you're doing a female Dakini practice, in which case you start from the left. So if you're doing a Vajrayogini practice, they would all start from the left, and the bell would be on this side. But that's not anything you have to be particularly interested in, yeah. It's just one of those little blahs that I always throw out.
For the Tara practice, I was taught right to left.
Yeah, Vajrayogini is not Tara.
Okay.
Yeah. And not all Vajrayoginis. When you're doing the full, what would amount to highest yoga tantra, Vajrayogini, you do them the other way around. You do the offerings to the Buddha consciousness like that, but then you have another set of bowls that are going the other way to Vajrayogini. But that's like, you and I are interested in that, but it's just confusing to everybody else. So let's not go there. So when I do that, when I have those seven bowls, in the morning, quite often, and you empty the water every night and you fill it every day. I just empty the water once because I'm lazy. I don't do all the bowls every day. I mean, it would take me too long. I never get it. And then I start cleaning the shrine. I never get around to sitting, you know, because I get that sort of obsessive kind of quality going, you know. So when I'm sitting there and I get all the balls and everything, and I don't do the prostrations I'm going to do yet, then I sit down and then I ask myself, okay, which scented water, which quality of energy do I want to increase the faith today, to increase the balance of confidence, right? And I have this whole bowl full of these little things, right? So I picked some of my favorite when Chris took me to the health food store, to the co-op, from at home, to bring here. And what I do is just what I did with you. I just wave it under, and then I just watch how that energy balances or moves the energy that I feel that morning. And I decide which one I want to be on the shrine for meditation. Then I put a drop of it in the scented water, and then I do my prostheses, and then I start. And that's what that whole long story was all about. I was just going to tell you, I do this at home every day. So do this at home.
What is the mystery one?
Oh, I think it's probably this one. No. It's kusa. Kusa grass oil. This is this. Right here for me. You want to try? You want to try? You want to try and just see what happens?
I've tried.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Did you hear him?
Yes, I'll try right away.
You know what I find interesting is...
So, try. Okay, relax your body. Feel how your body feels first.
This was my toughest one.
Now just relax your body. Shut up. Forget all your past things. Don't think about... Get it down lower. Get it down lower, 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 down on the floor. Put it on the floor. Yeah. Now put your hands comfortable. Pay attention to your breath. Have a sense of how your body's energy is moving. Now just slowly pick it up and wave it a couple of times under your nose and put it down and just watch your body. Now you're not watching whether you identify the smell, you're watching, don't leave the cap off, just watch your body. So it's subtle, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's definite, though. Mm-hmm. So I say it's not the same thing that we think of as smell. Mm-hmm. But that's happening all the time with us. So when you start to look at perception and you see that you are not your perception, she's going to give it to Chris. She's going to try it in a minute. You see, you're not your perceptions. Then you start saying, well, what about my senses? And you become aware of how when you walk down the street, your whole body and your whole energy is totally changing every moment. And who it is you think you are has very little to do with who's home. That's, for me, usually a big relief.
My sense of smell isn't very good at all.
You didn't hear me, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, this doesn't matter. You could feel something shifting.
I could feel like a shift down here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Has nothing to do with, oh, I like that perfume, Maud. Yes, Hazel, isn't it wonderful? There's nothing to do with that. This is like a hormonal change in the brain that the winds move differently in your body. This is the Dakini that dances at the nose, and she's involved with earth and greed and avarice, and all have more of that, and pride. And equality. she is able to react equally regardless of what smell is. Always differently, but equally. She's related to loving kindness. Move a little over here, move a little over there, move a little over here. Yes, you.
Did you say down here?
For me, it's like just under the belly button, sort of just right, sort of around that area. Yeah, some kind of gathering. Exactly. So you're not going to notice with this. You're going to notice with this. It's not who we think we are. That's just the monkey, and this is the elephant. And the monkey's riding the elephant. We have all these views, you know, depending on which way we're facing. And meanwhile, the elephant's just moving along. So like to actually have some idea of where how the elephant moves is very nice. In case you want to go somewhere. Or you want to approve of where you're going in the beginning. Not be pissed off because what you're looking at seems to be getting farther away. It's interesting to do these little things.
When I tried it earlier, I'm not sure which one it was, but it made me disappear for a minute, and I was filled with something else. Just,
yeah.
It wasn't the smell. It was,
yeah.
But,
it's a hormone shift.
Yeah.
There's no other word I can think of.
Right.
Energy, the winds change. Yeah. It calls the winds to blow in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's very neat, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One thing I found interesting was I did the rose oil, and then I went to the rose garden, and I went and smelled every rose bush, and I found the one that matched the oil the closest, which I thought was really interesting, because I thought all roses had the same smell.
Yeah.
And then to go and smell 30 different rose bushes.
And be able to pick out one, yeah.
So it was really like, oh, this is cool.
And I wonder if humidity that day has to do with it, or...
There were smaller roses have a different smell than the bigger roses.
Mm-hmm. This afternoon.
Yeah.
You don't want to make too many theories because you're only going to get caught in them. Does that make sense to you? Because then one has something invested in them and then you can't, you know, play around as much. Anyone else have anything they would like to? It isn't happening right now, is it?
No.
So it's the dust from the past. You just realize it's empty. You're working with the kasina. You're working with the kasina. So you're using that kasina like His Holiness says here, right? So whatever comes up, that's just your mind performing a drama. And you just notice it. If you want to make that the drama you want to star in, you get involved. You believe it emotionally. You find more evidence to see how awful it was. You know, you can think of all, you know, after all I did for him, her, you know. blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm very good at that. I'm really good. I can do that very well. But it's not very useful. It's much more useful to just note, oh, wait a minute, I'm totally involved in this movie. And it isn't here. It's empty. Do you remember that Beatles movie where Ringo comes in and says, who's in charge here? Who is in charge? It's yours. And if you can't find that funny, you know, I mean, that's quite funny that of all the things that one could dwell on, you know, I mean, not Patrick's graduation. You understand? So then that in itself is interesting. As long as you don't get too sticky with it, you know. Now the emotion, the sense of sadness. So then now you focus on the sadness. And you don't like or dislike it, or you don't find a story to prove it. Just feel it and be present with it and watch it. Oh yeah, this is sadness. It comes and it goes. And meanwhile, you're still perceiving. Perception is perceiving sadness. Perception is perceiving the smell. Perception is perceiving the mind wandering. It's all a movie. First, you have to get to that. When you get to that, you get to the point where you realize that the mind is essentially clear. So what is going to be playing are the things that have been set on the tape recorder throughout lifetimes. The question is, do you want them to continue to play for lifetimes? And for me, one of the best ways is to have to go to my home movies and pay attention to them. Like I said, then boredom, or like, I don't like this. Unhappiness about it. I say, well, change the movie. It's basically empty. The way I'm seeing it. I'm not saying that events didn't happen. I'm saying the way I am holding it as it's some part of an integral part of my identity is bullshit. It's bullshit. If I want to be wounded, I can be wounded. If I want to be compassionate, I can be compassionate. Which am I choosing? Yeah? I'm the director. I'm the star. I'm the writer. If I can say on a circumstance, I am so grateful that if this kind of event happens to me, that I have met the teaching, because this event has given me the power to want to use the teaching. It's true, isn't it? If I am going to be one of several people who have had difficult, unhappy lives, I am so grateful that I met the teaching, because at least I have a way to use it. And that's brilliant, you know? That's brilliant, because it's true. If I insisted on being born in a pile of crap, I'm so grateful I also was able to meet some kind of teaching that taught me about composting. How wonderful. And this is what I get to work with. Yes! Right? So that when you meet it in other people, it doesn't scare you, or you don't try to make it go away. If you cannot meet your own pain, every time anybody has anything near it, you freak out and you keep being pulled around by it, don't you? It's like you got one foot nailed to the floor and everything is in relation to that, right? Just go round and round. That's a horrible way to live. That's not fair. We deserve better. And I say unto you. This is one of my hot topics. You all heard this from me ad nauseum, and here it comes one more time. You got some power here. Do you want to use your power whining? Because the world has a fair number of whiners already, And the competition in that field is fairly fierce. You might not be recognized for the brilliance of your profession. Or you could use it for compassion, which there are fewer of, but some really great role models. And you could have a real good time with it. You'd sleep well at night. You'd enjoy the company of whoever you were with. If you didn't eat, you'd be happy. If you ate, you'd be happy. I mean, it's a winning career. And your government would be happy, too. It's patriotic. It's patriotic to be a lover. Is that reasonable? Yes.
I think that I've heard you say similar things a lot. I think this works so well here. And then I think, well, how do I get that back to my life? And I'm in the midst of it in my life. I'm thinking, I remember little glimpses of how
beautiful. Beautiful. Slowly. Slowly. Most of the, somebody was saying to me earlier today, you told me this 10 years ago. No, you told me this when I was a teenager or something. A couple of people here I've known for a long time. And I said, yeah. And they said, but I didn't get it. How come it took me so long? And I'm going, like, you know, what do you think my job is? I mean, I only know 5 things. I just repeat them. It's all. That's my job. And I was saying to my friend, you know, my first meditation teacher said, and when you meditate, it's good to have your eyes open. And my second meditation teacher said, and when you meditate, it's good to have your eyes open. And my third meditation teacher said, and when you meditate, it's good to have your eyes open. And my fourth meditation teacher said, and when you meditate, and I sat there, and my fifth, and I sat there, and I took notes, and I looked really good, you know, as long as you didn't look under the robes and saw all the pillows that were propping me up, I could look pretty good. And I nodded astutely, and I wrote it in my book, and then I would go to my room, and I would sit down to meditate, and I'd close my eyes. And I did that for 9 years. 9. Meanwhile, I learned a lot of other things. And then one time, I thought, maybe if my eyes were open, it would be different. And I opened my eyes. And then I went to my teacher and I said, you know, I opened my eyes. And he said, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then I looked back in notebooks, and there it is. Open your eyes, open your eyes. Going back 9 years, open your eyes, open your eyes. I just never heard it. Because, like, it's like the foundation is built. And a lot of time you don't see that happening. The foundation is the most important thing. The sense of confidence. You know. Not that you've transformed it all, but that is your right to do. That's the most important thing. To establish that base that you can do. That there is something and you can do it. That's the most important. And then comes like lining up the vision, you know? And that takes, you know, once your eyes are open, then of course you start always looking at the wrong thing for 9 years. No! Come over here. No! Oh, come over here. There's something really good over here. So, yeah, it's repetition. But on the other hand, it's not repetition because it's always the first time. There's never any other time. There's only the moment. So it's just being present, that's all. You're keeping score, you know, how long, then we have to go back lifetimes. And you're probably getting it faster than me. Because I got a scoreboard right here. So So tell me about your practice.
Today when I was practicing, I was listening mostly to sounds, and I was shocked to find out that every sound I heard, it was more about me than the sound. I mean, I know I've heard you say that before. It's all about ourselves, but instead of hearing the bird, it was Edie hears the bird. I hear the plane. I feel the pain in my arm. And it just was, almost was made me nauseous. It was so intense.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And one, now that you know that, it's beautiful you know that, you know? That's very beautiful. That's like, that is worth like about 2 months worth of meditation right there, just that little insight. Uh-huh. That's very beautiful. Now that you know that, you can start to cultivate interest in hearing. Uh-huh. When you say Edie is hearing the bird, then you can say, how does hearing happen? And start watching Edie's ear. Uh-huh. You know? This is the movie that has been the way that you have learned to perform life. But that doesn't mean that all of the possibilities are not still there.
Mm-hmm. Even after all these years of doing it that way? It is,
you know, it's always the first time. Enlightenment is gradual until it's sudden. It's like you're never going anywhere, and you're always the same. Boop! Like before this, you never knew that. And now you do. So now don't use it as a kicker. Use it as a, gee, that's interesting. I wonder what else I don't know. Whole new world. And there is really nothing more interesting to explore than how we sense. The sense of feeling. What I was thinking I would give you to do second is having to do with walking. Use your toes differently when you walk. Put your weight differently on your toes. Practice being more aware of the front half of your foot when you're walking. Play around with that and watch what that does to the energy. I'm leaving these here, by the way, so you can continue to play with them. Is that good? I think it's nice to know sometimes in the morning there's a different effect than in the evening for some of them for me. And stuff like that, you know, full moon, maybe you're more open to these feelings. Or maybe in new moon or, you know, in 2 days or something. It's worth playing with, isn't it? Someone else want to tell me everything?
Sure. I tried the thing of noticing the dislike.
Did you? Oh, goody.
And the space thing. And it makes it easier to just be with it. When I'm sitting, that's about what it is. I sit there and I work with that, and it's like knocking me out is what it feels like. But then when I lay down, it seems to start to resolve it.
Yeah. A lot of it is habitual, like habitually having that fear, and that, you know, adrenaline is addictive. When I used to waitress, in order to get money to go on a retreat, downtown Toronto and some of the, you know, the restaurants that serve businessmen lunches. And a lot of the businessmen coming in were, you know, like 10 years older than me. So they had been fighting in the Second World War. And they would have these really dull jobs, and but they're supporting their families. They're doing that very beautiful bodhisattva work of putting their life toward those they love, you know, buying shoes and, you know, that stuff. That's so wonderful. Right? And they would talk about the Second World War. They would talk about the battles where they almost died. They'd talk about the shells going over their heads. And the energy was like so intense, like you could almost have served them anything and they wouldn't notice. And then they'd go back to their jobs. How interesting. I have a niece who works for emergency. She's one of the top, highest trained, one of the top emergency room workers and nurses. She teaches. She flies around the province and teaches at different hospitals. She's been married 3 times. Her third marriage is just breaking up. She works long hours. She works overtime. That's real to her. Does that make sense? That has a power. There is a certain addiction in, you know, where there is no past and no future and everything is sharp and clear relief. When your adrenaline is high and there is just the immediacy of the moment, you have that experience a few times, other things kind of dull. So there's these really nice young men in our society, sweet, lovely young men who are just ordinary guys. Well, some of them are probably fairly miserable, but they're sweet young men, you know. And then there's a war, so you send them off to war. They've been raised not to kill and rape and pillage in their neighborhoods, right? So you send them to another neighborhood where they kill and rape and pillage. And then they come back and you have a parade for them. Then you tell them just to go and forget it. Did you know that the Hells Angels were all Second World War vets? That's how it started. I'm not curious. I wonder why they do that. You know what they have tattooed on their knuckles? What is it? FTW. Which means?
Fuck the world.
Because the world is the enemy. We are the family. And there are rules in the family, aren't there? There are rules in the family. You don't break the rules, or you're one of them. You can use drugs, but you can't get addicted. Because that's for the stupid people. Generally speaking, rules, there are rules. The number one rule is keep the adrenaline level. Don't get attached to anything. Always live on the edge, ready to let go of everything all the time. Adrenaline is addictive. And if you don't address it, it becomes a problem in your whole life. In all the little corners of your society. In all the little corners, it says, fuck the world, I'm going after the adrenaline. If you don't recognize that, it could be difficult. Because some of us have had some adrenaline experiences. And we have to learn how to acknowledge, yes, there was aliveness to that, there was a specialness to that, and there was a horrific pain. I'd like to get the aliveness and the specialness again without the pain. But in order to do that, I would have to cut off my feelings and fuck the world. Therefore, I think what I'd like to do is learn how to have full awareness, which is the same experience, with respect for the world. It's interesting, eh? Don't you think that's interesting? Some bits of information about adrenaline is a drug. And that clarity, we know that one, don't we? That heightened, about to get, right on the edge, death, birth, any second. Crazy sane. Most of us, if we just have it a little bit, we know enough to back off and get the doily straight again, you know? Anyway, I hope that's interesting to you. So we all have our movies and we all play them, you know? And the question is your interest more in getting a good audience or an Oscar award for your performance of your movie, or are you interested in finding out who is the projector? When the final curtain falls on this theater, is that movie going to keep playing? Do you want to continue that movie for another lifetime? These are interesting questions, I think. For me, that was the one that turned me around. Do you want to do it again? I told you about that. Well, maybe in your next lifetime. On second thought, so, I want to hear more. I don't want to talk so much, but you know me, so you talk more. Yeah.
I had a lot of agitated mind this morning, and then this afternoon during the casino, it was pretty mellow, and I just had a few thoughts and get rid of them anyway. Towards the end of the 10 minutes, several times, I'd be focusing, I'd be seriously hallucinating on the casino, and then everything would just go blank, but also I'd lose my focus and my eyes would just drop in the blankness beneath the casino. And then whatever time later, I'd have to come back and lift my eyes and go, yeah, I have to refocus on that.
Are you staring, do you think? That's, again, like I said yesterday, first thing you check is that you're not trying to get out there, that you're relaxing the eyes.
I'm trying to, sometimes I feel just this energy flow, like when I look at the sun, you know, you can have energy go both ways, and I can feel that with the casino too.
Yeah, so. As long as you are aware of a receptive quality, you're not actually physically causing your eyes to stare, because it will make the casino blank out too. I mean, there are a few different ways where that can arise. And always you check the physical first. Always you check the physical first. Because it's usually the physical. But it isn't always. So you just see, when you blink your eyes, were you holding your eyes open for a while before that? You don't know.
This is an hour ago. I don't
you don't remember. But then that's what you would ask yourself. Have I been, you know, And you just check that, and you just see. And then if it's not that, then you just note it and you drop it. And that's just another perception. All of the different ways that the images will dance, they're all perceptions. It's all the experiences of the mind. Sometimes we'll go through dramas. Sometimes we go through, you know, deities and so forth. Various, you know, like that's when you're moved in through the doorways and you're in the garden. When all the different hallucinations start, it's like just different energy patterns moving. And it can go into, if you don't fall for that, you just keep calling it perception, then it can go into, you know, like psychic powers and mystical experiences and stuff like that. And if you don't fall for that, and then eventually you get back to the clear light.
So technically one could use the casino all the way through?
To understanding clear light, yeah. That's what it's for. Clarity, emptiness, non-dual wisdom. Craving, false view, conceit. Craving becomes clarity. False view becomes emptiness. When you look at clarity and you see emptiness, you look at emptiness and there's not separate from clarity, non-dual wisdom. And that is the cervix of transcendence. It's the same place that all phenomena come from. So right now you're in an energy realm of phenomena. Your consciousness is picking up energy being born from a more subtle level, not so hard-nosed level of clarity, false view, and conceit.
So what I mean, I guess, is somebody from another culture could do a casino, which is
anybody could.
Elemental, and they basically could realize the clear light of mind.
Yeah, well, it depends on how they're doing it. I mean, the instruction you're given as the focus is to is for the experience of perception as void of identity. So to say what you're doing, the instruction is to make you aware of perception as clarity. Or use perception to perceive clarity rather than to perceive dramas or phenomena or, you know, perceive the clarity of clarity, period. Right? Another way to use casinas is if you note them and then you take it in and you hold it within and you spend about a minute, maybe a little more, a little less, and you just look at the casina and you let it impress on your mind. And you relax and you're looking at it and then you close your eyes. And you construct it again in your mind's eye. And you leave your eyes closed for like 3 or 4 minutes and you try to hold it there. You try to see it in absolute detail. I haven't got his right hand right and I haven't got the colors behind his left shoulder quite right. Is that a tree over there by his head or... Okay, you hold that for a while, trying to recall it. Then you open your eyes. Oh, yeah, it's flowers. Oh, got it. There's a double arch there, right? Close your eyes. Okay, now I got the background, but I'm missing the top right-hand side of his head. Can't tell whether the glasses, right? See, and you work back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until you can close your eyes and you have an exactly no different as clear image. And then you practice letting go of this and you practice seeing that image in space in front of you. And then you take it for a walk. And if you can take it for a walk and not lose it, then that's considered to be pretty good. When you can do that, then you practice making it larger and then making it smaller. And what you're doing is you're strengthening the power of mind, not the clarity. You're strengthening your ability to hold one-pointedness so that you can hold your mind on one point. That's called concentration. And that will develop all through the different levels of what they call jhana. That's another way of using kasina. This way is to use it for clarity. They're all neat to do. I really like meditating with the elements. I used to teach them every year, but I haven't for a long time. It'd be nice to do them again.
Did you choose the blue as just a calming,
contemplative? No, as I said, I really try to present the teaching in a traditional way, however untraditional my expression of it may seem. Kasina used to perceive perception in the Sakya school, in the Nyingma school, some of the Nyingma school, in some of the Gelug school, and a few of the branches of Kargyu school. So probably about half of the Tibetans would use this as a way to develop calm abiding practice. This is like a basic Tibetan way to develop calm abiding. Now, this is a kind of Tibetan meditations that it's harder to hear about, isn't it? Like, you can go and get the color tracker initiation, but like, where do you find out about the blue flower? And this was like basic. It's one of the things that used to just really bug me, was that you could get these profound, incredible teachings without a clue of how to use them. But you tried to, like, what are the offering bowls? Oh, yes, right. Okay, now we're going to do dem choke. Oh. So once I've received these teachings and I've worked with them for a while, I like to pass them on. I think it's helpful.
I also found another translation of the Heart Sutra that I really prefer over the one we use. That rather than say the profound illumination, they talk about the Prajnaparamita.
Let me see it.
Just makes more sense for where I'm coming from.
No, I don't want you to do this one because I want the three parts, which is not, again, that's abbreviated. Okay. Just, there's a whole understanding that at least it's not as close to the Sanskrit there, but the understanding they have translated there about the Buddha meditating on clear illumination, profound clarity, and Avalokiteshvara meditating on void nature, and then specifically the void nature of form, da-da-da-da-da-da, you understand? There's something in that part that I think it's important to get.
It's okay to, in my own practice, to use both of them, though?
At the moment while you're here, no, just okay. Use that one, and then you can take this home, you can take that one home, you can throw that one away, use it for toilet paper, and you can use this one. I don't care.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah? You had a question, Pam?
Well, I was just, my meditation today got very quiet. I mean, I wouldn't call it boring, but I found that very few thoughts happen.
Yeah.
And so, I'm just not, I try to just not expect anything more. And I was paying more attention to then, if there aren't these thoughts going, if I'm not perceiving them, then I was sort of talking. talking to myself about what am I watching and then who's watching, but
you were perceiving, you were perceiving sounds.
I was right, sounds.
So like there is always some perception. Right. So like that's what you do it with then.
So more.
Yeah, with what is actually being perceived, right. Not the idea, but the actual perception. Because a sound is the actual perception, but we tend to write it off. Oh, yeah, that's a motor. That's a perception.
Those were very rich.
They're happening all the time is what I'm saying. I'm saying they're happening all the time. Mm-hmm. So if the thoughts died down, that means it's getting to a more subtle form, right? Mm-hmm. But then you're not saying it was just as much physical sensation, smell, taste, touch. Sound, you understand? Mm-hmm. It is just as much.
It's just as much perception.
Yeah.
It's just a different quality.
It could be. Whether it is or not depends on whether one thinks one knows what one's listening to or one is perceiving hearing. Yeah.
And it seems to me that you were talking about how that gave power, but it seems that that's part of the habitual part that can get in the way.
The Buddha said, I too use concepts, but I'm not fooled by them. They're a tool. There is continuously a sense of self being created. And it is continuously dissolving. It's a tool. It isn't non-existent. It's non-permanent. It's a tool. That takes it to a more subtle level. That takes it to the level where the name happens after the experience. And the name is kind of like a joke. Sort of. A joy. Okay, Adam, what's this? Zebra. Right? And there's a beauty in the naming too. Naming it, perception itself is beautiful. When you see the emptiness of it, that does not make it meaningless. If it becomes meaningless, you've missed something. I too use concepts, but I am not fooled by them. You're not going to get rid of the ego. You're going to just keep enjoying the dance. Even if there is no self. Especially. Is that helpful? Mm-hmm. Nice question, thank you.
Well, mine was great today.
Was it? And less emotion?
Yes.
See, if you just let it go, then after a while, that's it. Yeah. It comes in waves, you know. Sometimes it's there for a while. But it's not uncommon at the first part of a retreat that there can be a lot of emotion and then it's gone. And then, yeah, so then. Yeah, it's neat, isn't it? It's lovely. Did you like the smellies?